Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan.
Bring gas.
Got a lot to get to in the second hour of the show.
He's got a dog mentality.
We'll talk with Spike Eskin of Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia. Going to be a cold one over there in Philly.
We got chilly games on Sunday in Philly and in Buffalo.
Dome it up. Make these games a little better. To carry over from what we talked about at the end of the first hour, we were just kind of talking about these games. There's some pretty exciting ones, and maybe the ones that we're not as excited for end up being close fights. The Texans could give the Chiefs something. And maybe the Commanders and Jaden Daniels as a rookie is even more special than any rookie quarterback we maybe have ever seen. And Lions, you're in trouble. But in my guess, I think you will ultimately prove to be right, and I'll tell you why. But I think what ends up being the closest best game is going to be Philadelphia-LA. And it's because, one, it's hard to ever pick against a Matt Stafford-McVay combo. It's been nothing but success when they do make the playoffs. His cold weather numbers, which I'll allow you to give the audience here in a second, are not great. I'd also say, what's that record when he was in Detroit against Green Bay?
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Right? Like, the Lions weren't winning when he was there. And so I don't know how much of those numbers matter to me. Feels like a low-scoring game. But also on the other side, Philadelphia's offense is just so hot and cold. And it's largely been cold that I don't know how much faith I have that this is just going to be a steamrolling of L.A. If that's the L.A. Ram defense now versus what it largely was all year, this one's going to be what feels like a low-scoring, tight game, pucker factor in Philadelphia. Maybe Stafford breaks through, maybe he doesn't. But the reason you're going to be right with Buffalo-Baltimore is because even if the game itself doesn't give us a lot of Lamar, Josh Allen highlights with scoring, it's going to be snowing, and that's going to make us feel good.
It's going to make us feel incredible.
And so if it's 16 to 13,
warm and fuzzy inside,
we're going to lie to ourselves a little bit, because football with snow is almost like being a child and believing in, well, having faith that Santa Claus is coming to your house.
Yes, he will be there.
He will be there. It's going to make you feel that way, even if the game itself is not amazing.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, we have to keep in mind is we'll keep an eye on the weather. So right now, it looks like in Buffalo, it might not snow a ton. It could just be really cold.
Well, they just did a weather report on FS1, and Craig Carton's telling me it snows at 7 and 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and then, but some of the stuff that I've seen said it's less than an inch of snow.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're getting a dusting,
flurries.
Maybe, flurry. So it'll look aesthetically pleasing. So I don't know how much of an impact the weather will truly have on the game. If it's just cold, it's just cold. You can overcome that. It will be freezing, that is for certain. But we're not sure how much snow we're actually going to get. Same thing goes in Philly, by the way. So Philly, there's a chance. I think for the game, it says about 30-35% chance of snow. As a looker of betting overs and unders, I've paid a lot of attention to the weather reports this week. I need all the help I can get. The numbers on Stafford outdoors in rain and or snow in his career. Now, to your point, I don't know what the breakdown of how many of these were in L.A. and how many of these were when he was in Detroit. 1-8 record, 54% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a 76% or 76 passer rating. Those are horrific numbers.
Those have to be stemming mostly from the Green Bay Detroit.
You would imagine.
Or even Chicago. Like, there has to be some bad Lions teams. He quarterbacked. They go to Detroit, Chicago, and they get their asses kicked.
To me, he is the entire trump card of that game. Philly is better everywhere else on the field. They are maybe wide receiver.
Time.
Wide receiver, you could debate. Philly's got some in L.A. comparable wide receiver play. Maybe a slight edge L.A. there. Everywhere else, offensive line, defensive line, Saquon Barkley. Everywhere else you look, Philadelphia has the advantage, and the game is in Philly. You know how I feel about Matthew Stafford, though. I said it at the start of the year after his opening performance on Sunday night. I think he's one of the more underrated quarterbacks of the last 10 years of the NFL. I think the reason he's underrated is because, for some reason, the only thing that matters when we're analyzing quarterback play is, can you win in the playoffs? Can you win in the playoffs? And he didn't when he was in Detroit for a long time. And then he got out of that organization for 1 year and he won a damn Super Bowl. And now they're back in the playoffs again for, what, the third time in 4 years that he's been in L.A., I believe, outside of the 1 year that he's snapped his back in half. That's really the only year that they haven't made it. So he is a tremendous player. He is a massive advantage for L.A. in this game over Jalen Hurts. Will that be enough to win? I don't know. But if L.A. is going to pull off the upset and this game lives up to the hype, to the way you're billing it, of maybe being the closest and most entertaining, they need Matthew Stafford in that passing game to be special.
Yeah, and Philadelphia's defense is maybe the best unit in the playoffs remaining. Yep. Kansas City, line two, Chris Jones, McDuffie, Bolton. I mean, the list goes on. Kansas City probably deserves more of the edge, in my opinion, because of what they've established. But there's a lot of people that think, you know, just statistically and just looking at what the Eagles have been, this could be the best group on that side of the ball. And that's what's also interesting about this week. It's a lot of, most of the attention goes on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels, Goff and Montgomery, Gibbs, St. Brown. You go Lamar, you go Josh Allen, Mahomes. You kind of look through the what's left of the NFL teams, and Baltimore's had maybe the best defense in the league since like week 12, week 11, when Kyle Hamilton went back to safety.
Last 6 weeks, it's been outstanding.
Hey, Buffalo gave up an early score and then completely neutralized Denver's offense a week ago. Kansas City has been more carried by their defense post the Tyreek Hill Super Bowl run.
Yes, they have.
Than anything else. Houston beat the living crap out of the Chargers last week. Defensively.
Like what the Rams did to the Vikings on Monday night.
The Rams defense was the story against the Vikings because, my God, they had a scoop and score and they put Sam Darnold in ghost hell. So it's like all of the storylines going in are the sexier ones or the quarterback names or the skill play. It's all defense. That's all this is. And we know defense wins championships, right? But I'm most interested to see. I read a story on Nick Sirianni this week and there's a narrative about Sirianni, but historically, it doesn't match the narrative. It's such an odd thing. He has had as much success to start his coaching career as any coach ever in NFL history. Like, ever.
Yeah.
Not Philly, ever.
Ever.
And they have a chance to go back to an NFC title game. People are going to give them a shot if to beat the Lions or Commies, whoever they play.
Yeah.
But the perception is, I don't like this guy. Philly has these off and on moments with him where they want to boo him and run him out of town.
Right.
And then he wins. And, you know, these funny, like, hey, he looks like a guy who won a fan contest to be a coach. And now he's winning and he's like, yo, I'm good. I knew I'd be good.
That's right. As the fans are heckling him and he's heckling them back.
But what doesn't get talked about is actually his impact in the locker room. A.J. Brown reads a book. And so it's like the bad culture. And this book gets sold 53 million% through the roof. This story was good because he taps Jordan Mailata on the shoulder in the locker room during one of the weeks. Says, hey, can you come to my office to talk? Goes to the locker, the office, excuse me. He's like, oh, am I in trouble? And he just wants to talk to him. Hey, how's everything going at home?
Yeah.
And people don't always talk about that side of this. He had some weird stuff with Jalen Hurts where everybody thought Jalen Hurts hated him. They evidently talked in the offseason and really got on the same page on stuff. So, you know, there's so much looming, but in that game in particular, I think more people are giving the Rams that shot because it's Stafford, it's McVay. And also, The Eagles' offense has looked meh, but Sirianni, too, despite how successful he's been early on.
It is funny how narratives form, and I'm just as guilty of it with Sirianni. When you look at what he's done his first 3 years in the NFL, they have been a tremendously successful organization. They've won a ton of games, been to the playoffs every year that he's been there. Like, there's not a lot to criticize. I think it was just the way that the season ended last year and the way that they got blown out and that perception on the outside of, like, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes. And then you had the lingering Hurts versus Sirianni storylines. But usually when you're picking games in the NFL and who's going to win, the first two things that you look at in analyzing are the head coach and the quarterback. And I think when you look at L.A. Philadelphia, the interesting thing about that game is everybody would say that L.A. has the advantage at head coach. And that L.A. has the advantage of quarterback.
I don't think people would hesitate on
that. Not at all, right? And so maybe Philly's defensive line, maybe their offensive line, maybe their defense, maybe the crowd, maybe the weather. Like, there's a million other things that can impact a game. But when you're just looking at it on a very surface level, those are the two things that you look at. And L.A. has the advantage there. I think the recipe for beating Philly that, to be honest, Green Bay almost was able to do. They just didn't have any healthy wide receivers and Love threw a couple of picks and then they missed a field goal on top of it. Like, you got to kind of drag him out into the deep end in a low-scoring game and find a way to bottle up Saquon Barkley. Much easier said than done. Not many teams have been able to do it this year. You have to find a way, though, to make Jalen Hurts beat you, because that's when they're vulnerable in my mind. If Jalen Hurts can come out and be Jimmy Garoppolo 4 years ago, I'm going to go 11 of 16 for 132 yards, one touchdown, couple of runs. We're going to play lights out defense. Saquon goes for a 147 on the ground. Like, you have no chance to beat them. They're too complete of a football team and they're too good defensively. If you can take away slightly the run game and say, you know what, Hurts, you can't go 11 of 16 to beat us. You got to go 22 of 28 for 255 and two TDs to beat us.
Right.
Then you got a fighting chance, because I still have those questions about their star quarterback. But if you don't do that, if you let Saquon Barkley loose, you let him run the football, good luck. You don't have a chance in hell to win that game in Philly.
Spike Eskin will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into a little bit of a peekaboo eventually about the national championship game, Ohio State and Notre Dame on Monday. So we won't be here to preview that. So we'll react to it. But we'll give you a little bit of a peekaboo on that matchup between the Buckeyes and the Irish. We'll Sprague the Line at 8:30. So get the Sprague the Line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They teach you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Not being talked about, this part. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Spike Eskin will join us in Philly. Maybe get an update on that Packer-Philly fan exchange that happened. We didn't get into that this week. That was pretty crazy.
It's been a weird back and forth. Everybody vilified the Philly fan, and rightfully so.
Yes.
And then it came back that the Packer fan maybe was antagonizing and filming everything, and it just, fan behavior is so stupid.
I find...
Why are we so stupid as a country?
Well, that's been building. I mean...
What is wrong with us? We go to games with GoPro cameras, and then we try to entice fans into getting into a fight.
Slow burn in this
country.
Social
media and say, look what they said to me. And then people dig up all this Packer fans history. He's saying a bunch of stuff that's controversial. Like,
you strip away funding in America for like 30 plus years, you find out that it tends to not pay off, actually. But
it makes me not want to go to sporting events, honestly, sometimes with fan behavior. And I know NFL games are usually the worst, but I don't want to deal with that crap, man.
I wore Niner gear to a Seahawk Thursday night game too. Years ago, and I was legitimately nervous. I would never respond. I just walk away.
You just keep going, yeah.
But I didn't get it, thankfully.
Yeah, that's good.
But there were other Niner fans, like, shouting and screaming on the concourse, and I'm like, dude, I know you're probably a little buzzed or drunk.
I'm not going to be that fan,
why
man.
Why'd you bring it on yourself? You know
not
what I mean?
Not going to be that fan.
Also, anybody wearing a GoPro, like, body cam that's not a cop, don't trust them.
No. You not at all.
What are you doing?
You're like, you think people care that much about your content? No.
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 And people that bust their phones out and like start recording, I find all of that so uncomfortable and weird.
I'm going to go ahead and lay on my couch and watch this game. How about that?
There was a manager at a restaurant and a lady was upset she got ranch fries when she ordered cheese fries.
Excuse me. How dare you?
And so the manager comes out and goes, what did we screw up? And she's like, well, I got ranch. I ordered cheese. And he's just like laughing. He's like, and? I think he ate them. And she busts her phone out, and he goes, oh, the phone.
Oh.
What do you want me to sing? You want me to dance? And I just actually appreciated it.
Got the wrong fries, and she ate all of them and then complained about getting the wrong fries?
The funny thing was, she goes, I'm sending this to corporate. And he goes, I own this business.
I am
I
corporate.
Made the design.
I am the one who knocks.
I am corporate.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
I wish I would have been there.
Such a good feeling to be a business owner, being able to do that.
If they screw up your order when the food comes, say, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Let's go change it out.
He was willing to do it, but she had such an attitude that he's just like,
that's perfect.
You know, wasting my time.
Screw you.
Bless you.
I don't need your return business.
So maybe we can ask him about that. A lot of it's going to be on Rams-Eagles game in Philadelphia. We'll see how they feel over there in Philly getting Matt Stafford coming into the building. But on another divisional round thing, I was reading some numbers, this piece by Derek Klassen. Of The Athletic. And last weekend, would you care to guess Jaden Daniels' numbers throwing 10 plus yards
down the field?
10 plus yards.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I feel like he was pretty good, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
You would be correct. He was 5 for 5 in that category at 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
So that's kind of where he thrived. He was also good 10 yards or close, 10 yards in. And I know the Texans are kind of in this category for many, but just kind of highlighting Jaden Daniels and the special season he's had. Washington, they're kind of the C.J. Stroud story of last year, and I know that didn't end well. Maybe this is what happens to the Commanders. Doesn't feel like a whole lot of people are giving them the ability to win this game this weekend because of the rookie quarterback stuff. But he is kind of flying under the radar a little bit. They're a big underdog statistically. Jaden Daniels going to Detroit. Where would that be for you?
I feel like the storyline of that game, in terms of a win, I'd be pretty shocked if they pull it off, to be honest with you. The Commies doing that again. It's one thing to go on the road and beat Tampa, which I don't think anybody was overly surprised by that. Some people probably like Tampa to win the game, maybe cover, whatever. I don't think if I would have told you last Friday, hey, the Commies are going to win that. Oh, my God, what? I'm shocked by that. Tampa's been a weird team all year. They've been herky-jerky up and down, and they barely beat Spencer Rattler the week before that when they needed a win to win the division and get into the playoffs. So they've been a bit of a funky team. This is such a different animal. I think the biggest question that I have about this game, and it's not just in looking at what's going to happen this weekend, but also what's going to happen in the weeks to come, what does Detroit's defense look like? I feel like I have a base level of trust in their offense and their play calling and their aggression that I could almost chalk them up to like 24 to 35 points a game. Like Detroit's got weapons. Goff's been good. They can run the football. Montgomery's back. I have a base level trust in their offense that it's good enough to win a championship and it's good enough to win this weekend.
Mm.
Did they find it defensively in the last game of the regular season against Minnesota? Was that a fool's gold? Because the very next week, we saw the Rams do the exact same thing to Minnesota. We saw them just blitz them. Darnold held onto the ball too long. They look lost. They look dysfunctional. Their offensive line was bad. Was that a Minnesota thing? Or was that a Detroit's got Anzalone and they're getting healthy and Glenn came up with a game plan that worked? Because if there's something that's going to keep them from winning a championship, it was the way that they played defense in the second half, which is not their fault. They were decimated by injuries in the back half of the year. But if they found something against Minnesota, they have returned to that juggernaut status where I trust their offense far more than I trust Philadelphia's or anybody else left in the NFC.
As you should.
They just need they just need to get the defense there. And that, to me, is the biggest question. I think it's going to happen. Spoiler alert for an hour and Sprague in the line. I think that they did find something, but that, to me, is the only question about this game of whether or not it's competitive. If they play good defense the way they did, this game is going to be a bloodbath.
I'm ready for Tex Police to correct me if they know this. I don't. I always get nervous about having the two coach candidates be the most sexy.
Yeah, there's something to that.
And it's like constant interview, interview, interview. Not that like an interview means you can't game prep. I'm not trying to take that away from Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson.
Philly had that the year they went to the Super Bowl. Remember, they lost their coordinators
with
and they were interviewing throughout.
Yeah, and Steichen and, you know, I don't think they lost the Super Bowl because the guys were interviewing.
No, they lost it because Jalen Hurts dropped a snap and it was ran back for a touchdown and there was a controversial.
And Juju got the penalty.
Yeah, there was a controversial holding call.
You know, the other thing, too, if you think the Commanders can keep this close or win, they're probably doing it similar to what they did last week. Go look at the rushing totals, by the way, the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is the leading rusher. They could not move the ball on the ground.
No.
You know who's really good in rush defense? Tampa Bay. You know who's just one behind Tampa Bay? Detroit. So if Detroit neutralizes that run game the way that they did, they had it taken away from them last week in Tampa, I love Jaden Daniels. Clearly has earned all of the love he's getting. I can't, they're not beating Detroit playing that game.
No.
They played that game that they played against Tampa. They're going to get blown out.
They need Detroit to come down to their level a little bit. You need Goff to throw two interceptions and make you say, really like, wait, bad. What was that? What are you looking at?
Yes.
A random drop punt, a fumble after you move the ball into the red zone. They need those kind of things to go their way.
Now, to be fair, you could say, Sprague, you're pointing at statistical numbers from the regular season. You know who was better than Tampa and Detroit in the rushing defense category? Denver. What happened to Denver?
Yeah, they got ran through.
They got ran through. I think that's a mixed bag. I think that's playing on the road, and, you know, Bo wasn't the reason they lost, but rookie quarterback stuff tends to, like, hit a little bit of a wall, missed opportunities offensively, and the defense is back on the field again, and the defense is back on the field again. So, yeah, those numbers don't have to be concrete or say that Washington can't run the ball, but I think it's going to involve a lot of what you said. Detroit's going to have to fall down a level.
Yeah, and then Washington has to play above their pay grade.
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels has been a great story. He's going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I get it. I kind of lean that this is going to be Detroit saying, we took a step last year.
Yeah.
We're ready to take another step. I played Zigger Zag Cut of Dan Campbell saying, they're hungry. They're a good coach team. They've got the quarterback, which is exciting. We're also hungry, and we've been here before. We have experience. Now, they've got some guys in Washington. The underrated story of Washington is that they went and got veterans that may not have been at the top of their game, but veterans who could help stabilize a locker room.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner, who has kind of been on the fence all week of whether he's going to play. It sounds like he's going to play. Those things, those guys have helped them a lot this year. But this is a game where it's like the entire collective of Detroit, we're ready.
Yeah.
And I think for them this weekend, you win in the playoffs, it really doesn't matter. But if you win closely, people are going to go, ooh. But if they play the way that people think they can play, they might show this weekend like, yeah, we're not satisfied until we've got that silver trophy in our hands.
And I'll be honest with you, man. This is one that I am rooting like hell for. I desperately want Detroit hosting an NFC title game. I want them in the Super Bowl. Like, this is their moment. This is their year. They've built from 2 years ago, nearly making the playoffs, coming up just short, making it to the NFC title game. This is the way it's supposed to go.
Do you want the Eagles at Detroit, or do you want Stafford Detroit again?
I'm okay with either outcome,
with
honestly.
With a Super Bowl on the line with Matt Stafford coming back.
Either of those storylines is great. Philly, we know talent-wise across the board, they're one of the best teams in the NFL. Sans the quarterback, who you know how I feel about him. And then you give me the storyline of Stafford in Detroit. I'm fine either way. There's a vibe, and this is the interesting thing. Like, football's weird. It's football is football, as they will say. Balls can bounce weird ways. Turnovers can go against you. Bad calls. Like, of course, there is a scenario that exists in which the Commanders could win. I don't think anybody looks at the Commanders this year as one of the four best teams in the NFL. They're a great story. Jaden Daniels is incredible. The future is bright. Yes, grant you all of that. I have never watched them play this year and thought, that's one of the four best teams in the league. Really good story. I don't want them in the NFC Championship game yet. This is Detroit's moment, damn it. Don't take it from them. And if they lose their first playoff game,
where would that be on
the ticket prices factor? For this game in Detroit legitimately are like higher than any game sans a Super Bowl in the last like 20 years in the NFL.
Well, yeah.
People in Detroit are desperate for this. Don't let me down.
The Red Wings basically don't exist, and they're having an okay season.
The Pistons have been irrelevant for 20 years.
And, like, Cade's fun, but, like, there's no other storyline happening in that state except them.
Tigers have been to a couple of World Series, and they've lost both of them. This is it, man. Don't let me down, Detroit. I need you in the NFC Championship game.
Where would this be on the shock factor? On a
10? 9 out of 10.
It's like a 9.0.
If Washington wins this game, 9 out of 10.
Really?
9 out of 10.
I thought you were going to give me 9.5 to 10, to be honest
with you.
Sure,
the whole city's crumbled.
Pretty surprising.
That's where I'm at, man.
Like, I mean,
that's how I feel for both games Saturday. I just don't see it. I don't see it happen. Famous last words poll Tuesday. I don't see it happening.
There's the famous last words.
Well, if Mixon can't go or is ineffective, then I think Kansas City blows him out. If Mixon can play and looks like himself and Texans can sustain drives and not give Mahomes a ton of possessions.
Hey, good luck doing it against that defense
might
in Arrowhead,
be interesting.
Man. Yeah.
What game did you think we were talking about in this segment?
You said both games Saturday.
Yeah, no, I said that's how I feel about both games Saturday.
Oh, no, okay. I was asking about Detroit losing.
Yeah, I feel that I would be shocked 9 out of 10.
You threw me way off on that.
For Houston or Washington winning. I hope we get competitive games just from an entertainment standpoint. Actually, I don't because I'm gambling on both the favorites. But I would be shocked. Genuinely shocked.
Let's go to Philadelphia. A lot is going on in Philadelphia. Spike Eskin, Sports Radio WIP. He joins us next. What are their thoughts about Stafford coming into the building? The confidence in the offense. Has he read inner excellence yet? Spike Eskin, Sports Radio WIP, joins us for the Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Football Friday, brought to you by our good friends at Pelican Brewing. With four locations along the Oregon coast, fly over to a Pelican location, enjoy epic views and local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. We still got a lot to get to in the show. Let's go out to Philly, where one of the more interesting games of divisional round is going down between the Rams and the Eagles. Joining us now is Spike Eskin from WIP in Philly, our good friend, at Spike Eskin on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Spike, good morning to you. I think the only natural place to start this interview is, have you found your inner excellence?
I'm still working on it. You know, okay. I'm still working on it. I'm gonna bring that book wherever I go, make sure it's highlighted and underlined, and hopefully after years and years of study, I'll get there like AJ has.
Now, what's the percentage of people in Philadelphia after that clip on Sunday, or was there a game Saturday? I can't remember, but it's all blur. What's the percentage of people in Philadelphia that went and bought that book and are reading that book?
Oh, it's a lot. The next day, I think it was number one on Amazon trending, and I think probably a lot of those are in Philadelphia. Now, in fairness, I've lived in Philadelphia most of my life, and I don't see a lot of people reading. Now, it doesn't mean they're not reading at home, but I think it just might be more of a piece of memorabilia than something they actually studied.
Well, something we hear more and more. I read it on TikTok. You're like, that's not nope. Okay. All right, whatever.
We
were talking earlier about Sirianni, and we've all had opinions on Nick Sirianni. It certainly is everywhere in the country. I read a really good piece this week about how people in the locker room actually like him. He's approachable. He talks to his guys. He asks them how their lives are doing. But the minute they lose, this guy's a bum. I'm kind of curious how you guys have weighted this, too, where it feels like if they lose, the city's against him. When he wins, he's the everyman coach. Just the idea of Nick Sirianni as the coach going into this weekend's game, where it feels like constantly he's on a hot seat.
Yeah, I've turned on him in a really positive way. You know, I came back to Philly, about a year ago, and coming into this season, I thought it was a mistake not firing him, especially the situation they put him in with all the conversation about firing him, sort of like taking the coordinators, that responsibility away from him, hiring them. But the way that he's been able to navigate, I think, three or four potential unravelings of the team this year, I thought has been really, really, really impressive. And I think he's grown a lot too. You know, his press conferences have gone from like, what is this idiot talking about, to your normal dry coach press conference. And I'd say that the thing that has turned me the most is, you know, every player I've talked to, both on and off the air, like, sings his praises. And I think there's a very big difference between being a player's coach who just like lets them get away with whatever they want, and a player's coach who holds them accountable for the things that they do. And one of the first things all of them bring up is the latter, is he tells us what is and isn't acceptable. He makes sure that we're staying on the right course. And I think that's really, really meaningful. And, he's not the only coach in the NFL who doesn't call plays on either side. And there are some successful coaches who don't. But I think the fact that he went from being perceived as the guy who was going to run the offense to not that kind of guy anymore has hurt him, nationally. So that is not to say that if they lose, everybody isn't going to turn on him. I think people have been generally positive because he hasn't been a storyline for several months now. But I do think, but like to that same end, they wanted to fire Andy Reid for a decade too. Yeah. So you know, it's not that different from what Nick's going through.
Yeah, it's kind of just the way the Philadelphia operates. I'm sure everybody will handle it with level heads on Monday if they are to lose on Sunday. Spike Eskin is our guest. Afternoons at WIP in Philly at Spike Eskin on Twitter. I think the other part of it that I look at with this game, and I Philly's an incredibly talented roster. They're a favorite in this game for a reason. The biggest question mark, honestly, Spike, that I have about this team is their quarterback. And if they can get away with not asking him to do a ton, Philly's going to cruise their way probably to a Super Bowl. The only concern that I have in my head is, hey, maybe the run game gets bottled up a little bit, or maybe L.A. puts it on you and Stafford has a great game and you got to match him point for point. Where are you at on Jalen Hurts? He was only 13-21, didn't need to do a ton in the wild card round. Is he capable of doing more, and how do you feel about the passing attack right now?
You have the same questions I have. I'm not a big Jalen Hurts guy. I think he has a lot of great attributes in that he does not seem affected by pressure. He doesn't seem affected by whatever we're saying, which is very difficult in Philadelphia. He is, you know, in late game pressure situations, he tends to come through. He's a strong runner. He's good in short yardage situations. But I always just keep going back to the primary job of a quarterback, if we're talking from a skills perspective, is the ability to throw the ball and read the field. And he doesn't do that particularly well. To your point, you know, they could go all the way through to the Super Bowl if the defense carries them and the running game carries them. And the defense has not slipped up very much over the last 3 months. But it does put them in position to almost be perfect. You know, I think to me it's less about getting in a shootout to me and their ability to compete in that way. And I think it's more about, because there are so few possessions for the Eagles, because all the drives take so long, you can dominate a team and be up one score in the fourth quarter. And that's what happened against the Packers. The defense generated four turnovers, and there we are with 10 minutes left in the game, and it's 16-10. You know, and one big play from the Packers could end the Eagles season through no, you know, and the Packers score 17 points or something and win the game. So I don't think the Eagles are in an optimal position from the passing game, but I think this is the way that it's going to have to be. And it has worked for them very well since their bye week in week five. And I think it's just going to have to keep working that way for them to win.
I don't feel like there's a topic you could do where you wouldn't get passion from sports fans in Philadelphia. The backup tight end or lineman could probably generate some debate and anger and, you know, hot takes. What topic did Spike Eskin least want to talk about this week? Inner excellence being read on a sideline, or a Philly fan calling some Packer fans an inappropriate word, and then that story kind of morphing all week?
You know, the inner excellence thing, there's a different national perspective on that than a local perspective. Nobody was mad locally. And I think part of it is because they won the game.
Yes.
And the other part is A.J. Brown is just like that kind of dude where you expect something like that to happen. I think also the way that he approached it after the game, just smiling and not thinking it was a big deal, I think took a little bit of the edge off. So to be honest, there wasn't much conversation about it aside from to laugh about it. The Eagles fan thing, I think on one level, because of what he said, was a little bit difficult to talk about. And I think, again, there was a pretty much general agreement there that what the guy did was unacceptable. And then, you know, the Packers fan also seemed like a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for, clout chaser. And, like, who goes to a game with a GoPro on and has a GoFundMe to send them to the game? Yeah. And, by the way, the guy's from Chester County, PA. Like, he's from, like, an hour away from Philly. So, like, why is there a GoFundMe to send this guy back to where he is from? I don't know. So, to me, the entire situation seemed more unfortunate. We were very lucky in that we were able to do very little on both of those things.
I always feel like you guys collectively as a fan base at that game should have shamed him to taking it off. Like, are you a cop? Like, everybody should have just kept coming up to me. Are you a cop? What do you got a body
GoPro
cam
for? You're
for
a football game, man. Go watch a game and have a beer. What the hell's the matter with you? How do you think it goes, Spike? You think they win this weekend?
Yeah, but I'm a little more scared than most. I think this sounds like I'm oversimplifying it, but I like to do that with games. And in a playoff game, it's very rare that the team that doesn't have the head coach and quarterback advantage is the team that you think is going to win. And I think the Rams have the head coach and quarterback advantage, yet I still think the Eagles are going to win. But I think it's a little more precarious than I think most Eagles fans think. So I think they get out of there with a win, though I'm more of like a 65-35 looking at the game, whereas I think a lot of Philly is probably 90-10.
I've long had an opinion, and it doesn't sit well with listeners out here. I'm sure it would be even worse in Philly, that we need to dome it up. I'm tired of watching these 10-degree games where offense sucks.
This is why we call him a soy boy.
This is why I'm a soy boy.
He's a softie.
Yeah. Thoughts on Buffalo-Baltimore. It's going to be at 10 degrees. It might snow throughout the game. Just thoughts on the matchup in general, and then like the weather impacting some of these matchups.
Are you talking about the Eagles-Rams matchups?
No, just Baltimore-Buffalo. Just getting excited for another football game that you get to watch.
Yeah, the weather thing, it's funny. We have our Eagles reporter, Elliot Shore Parks, thinks all stadiums should be domes as well. and we just destroy him every time he talks about it.
Good.
But as far as being a soy boy, I'm a vegan in Philadelphia, so trust me, I get those accusations as well. Like, I'm a literal soy boy, which is a real problem here. Buffalo, Baltimore, I think is not only the best game of the weekend, but I think it's one of the most interesting matchups in like the last several years, given what is on the line for both quarterbacks. And I love Josh Allen. Like, I just, everything about him. And I think sometimes there is a narrative of a football season that is like, that is true. And sometimes you just believe in what that is. And to me, the Buffalo Bills trading away their best wide receiver and the quarterback then having the best season of his career, I think is really impressive to me. And now there's a Lamar narrative there too, right? But I think at the end of the day, I err on the side of who do I think has the juice this year. And to me, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills have that juice this year. So dumbing it down, but that's where I lean on Baltimore-Buffalo.
We are Odyssey coworkers, and so Odyssey people tend to talk to other Odyssey people. I don't know if we'd be betraying a confidence on the air with this question. So if we are, you can just move on. But we heard that Boomer Esiason once cited you being a vegan at an event, and it was a little uncomfortable and also a little funny. Is that true?
It was actually not Boomer. Bill Boomer gave me a lot of crap for it. It was Gio, his partner. And he, let's just say, that word that the Eagles fan got in trouble for also came into, it was at a live event. It wasn't on the air. But yeah, that was not, I took a beating, you know, internally pretty good at the fan for that. Boomer, by the way, I said this yesterday at WIP. I'm 150 pounds, but Boomer had to consistently, you know, show me every day that he was bigger and stronger than me. And the number of times that Boomer, like, pick me up or grab my arm too hard just to show me that he was stronger than me. It was a little, like, he was one away from an HR visit. That's all I want to say on that one.
Well, we'll tell you, Spike, if vegans are far more welcome out here on the West Coast. So you're more than welcome to come out to our side of the
come
country.
Be a soy boy one
day. We don't shame soy boys over here. They're all over the place in our city. Spike Eskin is his name. WIP in Philly, one of our favorites. That's Spike Eskin on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Enjoy the games, man. Thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
And here you go. Spike Eskin from Philly, a fellow soy boy talking to another soy boy.
Well, quite literally a soy boy.
He's a vegan.
I'm not a vegan. I ate a lot of meat yesterday.
Electric car, same thing. Today's Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by Pelican Brewing, four locations along the Oregon coast. Fly over to a Pelican location, enjoy epic views and local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. We haven't talked about Houston and Kansas City. Does anybody care about that game? Let's get into it a little bit next. National title game, top of the hour, back after this on the
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Talk a little national title game coming up top of the hour. The divisional round of the playoffs begins tomorrow at 1:30 on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Plus, wherever you want to watch. We get our Buck and Aikman playoff game.
Yeah. We get a Brady, Ben Johnson game.
Texans, Chiefs.
Yes.
Where's the excitement meter for this game?
I mean, it's the divisional round, so yeah. Until it's over.
Baseline of like a five just because yeah. It's a divisional round playoff game.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite weekend of the NFL playoffs. We still have a decent amount of games, and these are the best teams, usually. You know, I tend to think the Chiefs are going to run away with this. If Mixon doesn't play, I just give Houston, and this is a mistake, next to no chance. As good as that defense was, we've talked about this all week. Easy to sit here and say this, but if the Chargers do score tuds instead of field goals, and that's 14-0 and not 6-0, certainly a different feel. But they didn't do it, and Houston took advantage of that.
Yeah.
The only factor is going to be, is there a rust thing with Kansas City? Because I know we saw this in college, but this is the Chiefs. This is the start of one of, if debatably, the most remarkable run in NFL history. What they're about to embark upon. And Kelsey on his pod this week talked about how he feels like a 20-year-old. He feels amazing. He's rested. I know he didn't have a great, quote-unquote, statistical year. He looked a little slow. He caught him and then just dropped. He had a little bit of this last year, and he had a better year statistically. But, man, if that rest is true for him that he's saying, I'm not putting it past him to go have 9 catches for 103 yards.
Right.
None of us would be shocked by that.
Didn't he do that last year? I'll go pull up his numbers, but I feel like that was the entire conversation for the regular season was Travis Kelce is washed. He can't do it anymore.
It was a little overblown because he almost had 1,000 receiving yards.
Yeah, he had 823 this year, and then they got to the playoffs, and it's like, oh, yeah, look at that. There's Travis Kelce dominating again.
And I just think 20-plus days off for a guy that's played this long, they're pros. This is not the college game. This is different. And they knew last weekend they were going to roll right over and let Denver just do whatever they want. They wanted that time off. They wanted to rest. They're too experienced, in my opinion, for that to matter. What's crazy, and I know it's so different now, is to think about the last time these two teams played in the playoffs. This was 24-0 Houston with 10 minutes left in the first half.
It was. Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien had them on the ropes in Kansas City. Kansas City had a bunch of fluky turnovers early in the game.
But they took advantage.
They did.
And we thought, oh my God, they're going to get dethroned by this?
Yeah.
And then they choked the game away and the Chiefs won. Look, the storyline might not be as interesting as the other games for people. I'm really interested because of all the Chief narratives. And just their ability to potentially win 3 straight. You can hate it all you want. We can make jokes about the officials. We've never seen this before.
Nope.
This is crazy historically that they have this opportunity to win 3 straight Super Bowls.
This is the 4th place game for everybody this weekend, I would imagine, right?
Probably. Think the Commies.
Commies, Lions,
well,
maybe.
Daniels
is
more exciting, maybe, than...
That's where I'm at least a little bit.
What Houston
this is
has.
How you dip your toe into the NFL weekend hot tub. And
I mean, it's fine. A fine start, early
it's
game.
On, like, you're paying attention to it, but I think you're out doing your Saturday stuff, and you keep an eye on it, and if all of a sudden it's a game at halftime, you hustle home to watch the second
half. I got
Ducks-Purdue
at noon, so if that's a tight competitive game, I'll start this game on the ipe. We'll see how that one finishes.
Our
up.
First basketball game this weekend for my daughter and I's team is 1:30 Saturday, so it's 10 minutes before this starts. And so I'm gonna record all the games.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, just in case.
Especially because even though it may end up a certain way, I'm gonna kind of rewatch throughout the week to kind of observe things maybe I miss. But if I check in after that game, game's usually about an hour.
17-3 at halftime.
Yeah,
I'll turn it on, but I'm not gonna feel like I missed much. Yeah. You know,
I'll miss the entire one. Our game's at 3.
Right in the middle of it. Yeah, so. You got to go to the Palouse this weekend at Pullman. Oh, baby.
Yeah, as soon as we're done, we go over in the bus and the airport and Spokane and a bus ride to Pullman. And
the Cougs barely beat Pacific and they barely beat San Diego.
Barely beat
yesterday.
San Diego. Yeah. So
you got a puncher's chance this weekend.
So
no,
yes.
No, they don't.
He's trying to be nice.
The numbers, by the way, on Kelce from last year in the regular season, he had 3 games.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Check that. 2 games with double-digit catches in the regular season last year. In their 4 playoff games, he had 1, but but he had 9 in the Super Bowl, so he's close. His run in the Super Bowl was 7 catches, 71 yards against the Dolphins, 5 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Bills, 11 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown in the AFC title game,
yeah.
9 catches, 93 yards in the Super Bowl.
Remember.
Went to another level in the playoffs, and he's going to do it again starting tomorrow.
Absolutely, and Taylor Swift is going to be back on your TV. Remember, too, that AFC title game, if we end up getting a rematch, or even if it's the Bills, a reminder of that, if they go back to the AFC, they awoke him with Justin Tucker getting in his way pregame.
That's right.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
And some say that broke Justin Tucker.
It might have. He's not been the same since.
He's finished strong, but yeah, it's not been a great year.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Like the award-winning radio host that we have saved the best for last. We will get to Bills and Ravens in the final hour of the show. Mm. We'll talk a little national title game. Where is your excitement meter for Ohio State versus Notre Dame? We don't have a show on Monday. It's a company holiday. We're not choosing to take the day off. It's a company holiday, so we won't be here. So we'll talk a little national title game in the final hour. And, of course, we will spring the line. So get your fake sponsors into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour. We're already there. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.